What is up and what is good, everybody? We are back. It's In The Zone. Little week vacation we took. You know, we all needed a little bit of a break. We enjoyed some sun, the beach, but now we're back. You know, we had quite a few things go on while we were away. We're going to talk about those things this episode. I'm your host, Nick Martelli, alongside Giancarlo Alino and Chris Martelli. We're going to talk a little bit about some wrestling, All-Star Weekend that just came and went here in Toronto, and of course, we'd be absolutely foolish to not talk about the big game, the Super Bowl, that is happening on Friday. But jumping off, we're going to start off with the wrestling, and I'm going to hand it off to Giancarlo, and we're going to get right on into it. So sit back, enjoy, and here we go.
Yeah, so a lot happened since we recorded the last time.
A lot.
We had maneuvering going around. So Brock Lesnar, as our clearly, if you listen to that after you were going into Royal Rumble, listening to our preview, that was recorded before everything came out, just so everyone knows. Like, yeah, Brock Lesnar didn't make the trip.
I saw something. He was at a Winnipeg Jets game or something.
Oh, yeah. And then they took that down right away.
Yeah. And then once all that happened, it was like, no, he wasn't here. We don't want it. Oh, okay. It literally felt like Step Brothers when they're sitting on the couch and the parents are just telling them what the fuck's going on, and it's like, what the fuck happened? Like, what the fuck?
And included in all this, Royal Rumble happens. Cody Rhodes wins. We think he's getting his big moment. Friday happens. He's in the ring. Everything looks great. And all of a sudden he says, I'm just gonna, you know, stand aside. I know I won the Royal Rumble and beat 29 other men. I'm the 30th guy here, 2 years in a row. I want to finish the story, but not at WrestleMania. What the fuck was the Royal Rumble about? I don't know, but he says somebody in your family, a council on, comes out. It's The Rock, and they have a stare down. Fans go crazy, but online they have all this backlash, and it looks like right now it's Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania. Allegedly, that can change because there's a press conference tomorrow. But Chris, when all this happens, The Rock comes back, could have just came at the Royal Rumble and won it, make a cameo. But what do you make of all this?
It's just a fucking nightmare. So again, me and Nick had the pleasure to go to Dominican. Didn't watch the Royal Rumble live, but we actually tried watching it at the end, streaming it. We watched the end of it with, the final four was, I think it was Gunther.
I think we saw from 25 to 30, Choppily, but it was like...
No, it was Zayn. I think it was Zayn, Gunther. Punk, Gunther. Rhodes, and Gunther were the final four.
Yeah.
If it wasn't Zayn, I think it was like Jey Uso or something. But yeah, I still believed Punk was winning when I saw the final two. And then when Cody won, I was kind of thrown off, but I wasn't surprised. I'm like, okay, you could do the whole Punk chamber thing. And then, yeah, I tore my tricep. Okay, now you're kind of fucked. But yeah, I agree. I think The Rock easily could have been in the Royal Rumble. He could have won it. But again, Roman Reigns is that heel. So Rock being a face and winning the Royal Rumble would be exactly a carbon copy of what happened 10 years ago with Batista. Yeah. Batista came in, won the Rumble. I don't know if people were like, I know people wanted Roman to win at the time, but Batista ended up winning. The reaction was what you'd say was mid. Some were happy, yeah. Some weren't. I'd say the same thing for Rock, but the way this just happened, it made no fucking sense. Like, yeah, you're going to have Cody win the Royal Rumble. You're going to have everybody cheer for him. Some people were a little upset because, again, the last guy to win two straight was Stone Cold. He's one of the greatest ever. So the fact that Cody did it and then just goes on SmackDown and says, nah, you know, maybe at the chamber I'll go for Roman. It just, this might be one of the worst, most idiotic booking decisions I've seen in a long time. The only reason being, Alino, is because the reign has been 4 years.
Yeah.
If this was something like, okay, Roman won it at SummerSlam and it's been like a 6 month reign, sure, maybe Rock wins it. We don't get too fucking pissed off about it. But the fact that this guy's had the belt since what, SummerSlam or something, 2020, it's like, oh my God, man. If there's one guy that's deserving to beat Roman, it's obviously Cody Rhodes. There's really nobody else. I know we've had, I think, our arguments where we thought maybe Randy would be a good shout. I don't know, maybe Sami Zayn at the time when he was red hot, but it's Cody Rhodes. This is the guy, I think, where, you know, with everything around his dad, how respected he's become, guys like Punk adore him, guys like Randy adore him. These are guys that have been in the business forever. Hell, man, even Triple H fucking feuded with Cody. So, I mean, he's been around a long time. He hasn't had his opportunity. The fact that they've done this whole narrative for 2 years, finished the story just for Rock to say, nah, I'm back. It's time for me to do it. If they do this, Alina, I'll tell you right now, I know WrestleMania sold out, but I just think the fans would boycott the main event, and you never want that for a WrestleMania.
I don't know about that. That's, I mean, it's the second, you got the Super Bowl, you got the World Cup, and probably WrestleMania. It's one of the third biggest sporting events. I don't see people boycotting the event. I mean, considering how much tickets are, and if it's already sold out.
Hijack it type of thing, like just starts
drooling. Not boycotted. That's not the right word. I meant like be visibly upset the whole main event. Like
Goldberg, Lesnar.
Just boo the whole time, not be invested in it.
That makes more sense. But I think, the thing about what's transpired within the WWE the last literally like week and a half to 2 weeks of how upside down shit went, like that. I honestly think this booking, in a lot of ways, it's like everyone has known it was going to happen. It's been teased for 4 years. Literally, it felt like every WrestleMania, The Rock's at WrestleMania this year, or he's at the Royal Rumble. He's doing a promo. When's he coming back? When we're going to get the fight? And it's like, now we finally get it. And I think it's one of those things, business-wise, when you look at what's transpired with the Vince McMahon, the Brock Lesnar, and everything else that's kind of fucking hit the fan, I think this is, in a lot of ways, like them stepping up, having this idea that they were going to book it already, but seeing how bad shit went left that bad, they were like, no, okay, Cody, you're going to get your shot. What will probably end up happening is, say The Rock wins, takes the title, Cody will face him at the whatever the main event is after that, and then he'll win. This is just a short-term booking to fix a really big problem that's arised. And it also looks good on The Rock because the UFL and everything fucking else that he's trying to accomplish too. But it looks sloppy. It looks bad. But the timing, just like before when Cody got hurt, it sucked. And then his shit had to get put on the back burner.
I get it. Shit is bad right now. Like even Punk getting hurt and Rollins is not 100. I don't even know if Rollins is like clear to wrestle. But I mean, I gotta love what Drew's doing. The guy is fucking comedy gold. He's a great heel right now. I mean, if there is a guy that I think can replace CM Punk, it's Drew McIntyre. I think he's in that spot now where, I mean, eventually when Punk comes back, maybe SummerSlam, whenever it is, we're gonna get a marquee Punk and McIntyre feud, which I'm all behind for that. I think McIntyre will carry it. Punk will get his shots in. And it'll probably be like what SummerSlam 2013 with Punk and Lesnar was, where it was just a freaking fest. But I do agree with what you're saying in certain aspects, Nick. But at the same time, this is a story that's been going for years. And Cody Rhodes came back to WWE to be the main event star. And this is now finally his time. I'm not discrediting Roman Reigns. He's a part-timer now. This is probably the greatest run I've ever seen from a champion, but enough is enough. It's time to pull the trigger. Cody's been here full time. I think he wrestled the most matches in 2023. He has the passion. He comes out in a suit. He doesn't have to greet the fans. He's that guy right now. I love The Rock. You don't need Rock versus Roman. For how many years, Alino? I know me and you have talked about it since the frickin' bubble, since COVID. How many years have they said, okay, now we're getting Roman Rock?
He left the next year open all the time.
Yeah, and then Rock's like, oh, I got this movie next year. Oh, I'm sick. Okay, next year. You're telling me now you're going to do it when you know there's a guy as big as, remember Daniel Bryan? Hint, hint. In WrestleMania 30. They really had the fucking nerve to be like, no, we're going to do Batista versus Randy Orton. Are you out of your fucking mind? The way that Bryan was organically being built as like that top babyface, literally fucking rinse and repeat with Cody Rhodes now. Cody Rhodes is the fucking 10-year later Daniel Bryan and the 5-year later Kofi Kingston. You got to give him his moment. If it's Rock versus Roman for no belt, that's great. That's a win for business, for freaking distractions with all this shit. You don't need the belt, especially on a fucking 50-year-old Dwayne Johnson.
Seth Rollins has been a little bit mouthy. Well, recently he got astray there from Roman last week. That was, I don't know if Paul Heyman wrote that for him, but that was fucking nasty what he
That was.
He just trashed this whole thing. Like, oh, how are you going to be the guy carrying the company when you walk with like a fucking limp, wearing your wife's clothes and all this shit? So he got one from Roman. He was got a little bit lippy talking about The Rock. Do you think when they do this press conference, the people are all going to be there? Will we see a little bit, a hint of Hollywood Rock come back? And he gives Seth Rollins a little bit of a receipt.
Honestly, I'd love that because that makes more sense for him. It's funny because everyone's like, Rock Roman. But I think at this point in time now with the backlash and how he didn't, you got to remember, Rock came back, literally hugged Cody, pushed him to the side and didn't say a word. That's telling because Rock always fucking says something. So they could literally tease, you're going to laugh, Alino. Remember 2012 Jericho when he came back? Didn't say a word. He had no idea if he was a face or a heel. All of a sudden, he's a fucking heel. If they want to do that with The Rock, you look at who Seth Rollins is facing right now, really, there's no direction. I said Drew, but here's the thing. If WWE has to screw over one superstar for WrestleMania, I hate to say it, I would rather they screw over Drew right now than Cody Rhodes. So I am full on with that. If it's Seth Rollins versus The Rock for the world title, Rock comes back as Hollywood Rock, you could be the heel for the first time in I don't know how many fucking years. And just fucking run with it because I think those are two marquee main events. You have Seth, who has probably been the workhorse for, 5 years? Rock is a fucking marketing machine. And then you got Roman and you got Cody finishing his story. So you know what? You're the fucking booking legend. I love that idea.
I think Damian Priest,
Cody Rhodes. No room right now for him.
And Seth, if they go in this direction, Cody's not going to win that title. Like, Damian Priest is cashing in to ruin his moment. And they're just going to change the whole story around. And I feel like night one is going to really piss a lot of people off. That's my prediction.
It wouldn't be that far-fetched with the way things have been going for them. I mean, the press conference thing is interesting since the merger. Because, you know, UFC, no matter the card or the events for every UFC fight or for every, you know, UFC 300 or whatever, everyone tunes in and tries to stream every single press conference. Well,
there's always one fighter that gets a little lippy, right?
Yeah.
Always fucking fireworks. So, I mean, if this is something that, like, because of the merger, the WWE will actually be able to show their fans kind of like a pre-fight or a pre-event and then a post-event, I mean, that would be pretty fucking awesome. I mean, the fact that it's also kind of like, it's what, on Saturday?
So WrestleManias are now two-day events now.
So WrestleMania is going to be competing with the Super Bowl on Sunday.
No, WrestleMania is in April, man.
In April.
They're just doing the press conference to piggyback off
fucking early, dude.
Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah, that's okay. So, that'll be interesting, but we'll see.
They're trying to make the road to WrestleMania as big of a deal as anything, because again, they've been trying to do that for years. But they didn't have press conferences, so now you're gonna see, you know, more organic promos.
Hopefully, more organic. It could just be as scripted as it's always been, and then they just try to make it seem more organic in a staged and controlled environment.
Are they scripted, the press conferences? Because I've seen a couple of them. They don't look
themselves. Yeah, it's probably not like the AEW one where they're going to have like 20 guys ask questions and keep them going until like 3 a.m, like the one at the Forbidden Door in Toronto was. I think they cap it off like, okay, we're going to only ask each guy like 5 or 6 max, and then they keep it moving like that. But I think for the most part, like, they talk out of character a bit, and then leading into it, like, they're also going to Australia, I think this month or next month.
Oh, shit.
In the stadium. Chamber? Yeah. 70,000 apparently in Perth, Australia. So.
Yeah, that stadium's huge. That's a massive stadium. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. It's disappointing. It's a mixed bag of emotions, depending on where you feel and where you fall, right, as a fan or as someone that's into wrestling. For me, it's one of those things where it's like, you're tired of the same guy. Like, the parody is always fun in sports, period. But as long as the parody makes it better instead of making it worse. And there hasn't been parody to make it better in a long time. And I think it's time that there's finally some fucking change. So hopefully that's what's going to happen. But like anything, we'll have to just wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not going to say, like, we're tired of Roman Reigns. It's just he has been the guy for so many years and we haven't had this for a while. Like, Cena was the guy for what, 20 years, but he didn't hold the belt for 4 years.
See, Cena was the guy though for a long fucking time, but he was there every fucking night, every fucking event. He didn't take time off. He didn't. And the funny thing about him, it's like in the beginning, he was such a heel and everybody hated him so much. Like with the JBL stuff, people couldn't stand him. And then he became the fucking most, arguably one of the most liked wrestlers of all time.
I think it's the other way around, man. I think when he was feuding with JBL, people liked him. And then as soon as he started winning every fucking week, it's like, who the fuck is this guy? Fuck this guy.
At the beginning of the JBL stuff, people did hate. Like if you were watching SmackDown or Raw or any of the events, you could tell that fans were booing John Cena more than they were JBL. It was then obviously when JBL, when it became more apparent that John Cena was going to be the guy and then he started winning, then people either liked him or they hated him. It was when the Fruity Pebbles shit came around. That's when people started hating him.
Oh, man. But I stopped watching wrestling because of that.
Yeah, because like with the top guy, like Hulk Hogan's another one where he's able to adapt to it. I don't know what it is, but like Roman Reigns is probably the only one since him. Maybe The Rock, but he was only there for like 7 years max. But like Austin tried to turn heel after it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Hogan went from babyface to like being over. Then the crowd kind of like was like over it a little bit.
Yeah.
Goes into a bad guy. It's successful. Austin wasn't able to do it. The Rock can do it, but he was only like 30 at the time.
Yeah, so he was a baby.
Yeah. He was like young in the wrestling terms, and Cena never did it after. So Roman's the only one now to like be successful with both.
Yeah, I mean, Roman as a face, I thought was fucking ass. I thought he was terrible as a face. Again, just be the guy from The Shield. Like, you don't have to talk. You just fucking beat the hell out of people. That's fine. But as soon as he started doing the suffer and succotash and like trying to cut promos against John Cena, that's already a mistake. He got fucking shattered. And then he fucking humbled up, took a break. And all of a sudden, guy comes back with veneers as a heel, fucking nice tan. And it's like, okay, now you're what? Did Rock give you acting lessons? Now you know how to fucking go. And he's been the fucking greatest ever since out of the table. So again, in terms of we'll finish here, like in terms of wrestling, watching as a wrestling fan, you want Cody Rhodes to be the guy. But if you're a guy like Nick, or if you're an outsider looking in, obviously you want The Rock to main event WrestleMania. So at this point in time, Roman has as much star power as anybody has ever in WWE. How impactful he's been. He's been on ESPN. He's been on all these talk shows.
You know, it's the one thing, though, that I've... And this is coming from someone that was a wrestling fan, like big wrestling fan, and is now just a casual person that will chime in and watch it every so often. I think the thing that gets stale with the characters and the wrestlers, like your Roman Reigns, your Brock Lesnar's, even your CM Punk's at a certain time when they had their reign, was when Paul Heyman's involved for such a long period of time, I think that stick has gotten so old with a lot of the casuals. It's nice seeing Paul Heyman because he's a legend in the fucking WWE. But it gets to a point where it's like, okay, he's a Paul Heyman guy. How long is he going to have this title? We know he's going to get screwed at some point. When's he going to get screwed? Then they're going to break up. Then they're going to get back together. And then he's going to hold the title. So it's like, you've done this with three or four, maybe even more, even when we were younger and we didn't even realize it. How many guys is this going to continue to happen with Paul Heyman? Yes, he's instrumental to the WWE and how it works for character development, stories, and even as a business. But what the fuck? How many times? Like, seeing The Rock is exciting because he's... Him on the mic is always electrifying and fun, and it makes me feel like I'm 12 years old or 10 years old again. But watching Cody Rhodes wrestle is a privilege, and it's awesome to see. We got robbed of that with the Brock Lesnar thing when he got hurt, but he does deserve it. It's just business is business, and they're going to try to cover their ass.
At the end of the day, I'll make a prediction. I still think they go with Cody Rhodes. I think they're going to crumble here, and they're going to say, oh, fuck. We want Cody is bigger than Rocky. And I think if you're smart about it, you have Rock turn heel. And I think that would be the intriguing thing here, because Rock doesn't like getting booed. You remember WrestleMania 18? He fucking comes back as Hollywood Rock. Oh, you got, I was the face. You guys fucking cheered for Hogan. So I could see something like that going down again. And if it's at the expense of Seth Rollins' world title, that makes it only better because Roman fucking roasted that belt too. So I'll make a prediction. I don't know if it'll be Seth versus The Rock, but I do agree. I do think at the end of the day, kind of like what happened 10 years ago with Daniel Bryan, I think they're going to crumble. They're going to give the fans what they want. Cody will finish the story.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. All we can do
so
is...
So we can all move on from
fuck. That one.
Honestly, we can all move on and then hopefully deal with some actual fun parody instead of the same guy for 4 years and on and on and on. But moving on, hopefully like how the WWE will move on. We had quite the weekend here this past weekend in Toronto. Definitely put the hockey world on notice so that people can't say that, you know, Canada is not a hockey country. Clearly, I don't see the All-Star Game doing any better in any other city anywhere than it did in Toronto. In terms of viewership, I don't know what the numbers were like, but in terms of like some of the things that were going on, like Gretzky's basement, the Mitchell and Ness pop-up with the two black guys, merch drop that they did was amazing. And then they had at the Metro Convention Center all the activations and stuff. And also the hockey. The hockey, I mean, okay, it's the All-Star Game. It's not going to be the greatest hockey, but it was a lot of fun. Let's talk about it. I mean, there was a ton going on. A ton of people were here, ex-NHL players, current NHL players. Like, it's the mecca of hockey for a reason, Toronto. And, I mean, Austin Matthews chimed in about that. I believe it was during the game or after the game. So, anyways, Chris, what do you think about it? It was a hell of a weekend.
Yep.
What did you think?
Absolutely. It was a hell of a weekend. I got to give a lot of credit to the celebrities too. I didn't think they would be as involved as they were. Like, I know the press conference went really well. I thought with Bublé, he was a really entertaining ass. He just said he was basically what, on shrooms, like straight up. It was kind of fucked up. Yeah. But
Twitter had a field day. I don't think he was on shrooms. I just think he was absolutely hammered.
Yeah, he was just rolling over there. But, you know, Bieber, honestly, like growing up, you don't necessarily like the guy, but he's grown up like to become a pretty like humble guy. So, you know, having a special performance he hasn't performed in 2 years was pretty cool to see for all the ladies and, you know, Bieber fans in the building. But it also just shows how close Bieber is with all the Leafs. Like, you could just see how he just meshes well with Marner, with him and Matthews are literally like best friends. I don't know if
some people might think they're boyfriends for all.
Yeah. Like,
but, you know, they got a bromance going on. They got something.
They
going
definitely
on.
Have a bromance, and, you know, it definitely rubbed off on Matthews because he was probably the standout of the weekend. If it wasn't Matthews, it was obviously Connor. Number 97. So, but I want to quickly start with the skills competition. I thought it was actually fun. They made it meaningful for both events, for both. It's kind of like what happened. Remember 2020, guys, with the NBA All-Star Game with the Kobe thing, and they kind of changed the layout. It was great here because last year's All-Star Skills Competition, man, it was just flat out terrible because there was no incentive to win. Like, you literally were just, okay, yeah, you get points and whoop-de-doo. This year, you actually had a chance to win $1 million. So the winner of the All-Star, the Skills Comp won $1 million, and then the All-Star Game. So, I mean, I got to start off by saying what a fucking legend Nikita Kucherov is. Alino, like, the guy is what? Like, he's top two in the league in scoring, and he's like, you know what? I don't give a fuck about $1 million. I'm going to fucking prance around. I'm going to go nonchalant. The fans are going to boo me, and he's just going to wave. So I absolutely love that with Kuch. He's a fucking menace, specifically when he comes to Toronto. And another guy, David Pastrnak.
Some of those comments, man.
Basically saying, oh, yeah, I know Leaf fans don't like me, but hey, at least you guys finally won something. That's good. So, I mean, you got to play the villain role. Kuch and Pastrnak to a T this weekend. And I love how some guys, oh, Sidney Crosby wasn't at the All-Star game. He wasn't at the skills competition. What a piece of shit. It's like, buddy, you know what he was doing? He was on an open pond practicing for the fucking All-Star game.
Yeah, he was in Montana at an ODR, like, putting in work.
working on his edge work. It's like, this guy's different, man. He's built different. But Aulino, who stood out to you in this weekend? Not in a negative way. We already got over what with Cooch and fucking Pasta. They're legends. But who was your standout in this during this weekend?
I was impressed with Matthews. I thought he put on a show with the C on his jersey. Maybe that's foreshadowing what could happen eventually. If he wants to start politicking and eventually do the Marlowe to Thornton, when Thornton took the C off Marlowe, maybe we see something like that. So I just think, like, I'm looking at the same, like, complaints on Twitter.
All the time.
I don't know what they were expecting. Like, were they expecting them to play like it was game 7 of the cup final? Like, no. I remember a few weeks ago we were talking about it, and I suggested, like, if they wanted to, like, make it more interesting and want them to try, winning team of that 3-on-3 crap gets 50% of the gate. You'll see how fired up they are because it looks sold out, and I don't think the tickets were pretty cheap. So
Not at all.
I mean,
50% of that is pretty good.
I think we talked about that even before. Like, there's no way any casual fan or even a real fan would be able to fork out that kind of money, whether it was the skills comp or even the All-Star game. And here's my thing. We, on Saturday when the games were happening, Chris and I went downtown and we decided to go to the Mitchell and Ness pop-up, got to see some awesome merch, grabbed a few things, chopped it up with some of the guys there, talked about the collab, which was, they hit a home run with that. Then we went to go see the Gretzky's basement that his sons put together with some of his memorabilia and stuff from Walter's basement in their house that they had in Brantford. That was unbelievable too. And to be honest, I didn't really get to watch any of the games, but not for anything. I also wasn't too interested in watching the games. Main reason why is because of the format. You mean to tell me you're going to have two games for four teams? Like, not for nothing. No one's, like, for how much tickets are costing or even just the time of watching it, it's not going to be the greatest hockey. Not a lot of people are going to be intrigued enough to watch every game. Like, I mean, we didn't. We were downtown trying to experience the atmosphere. You know, we saw a lot of people that we knew. Like, we saw Moutier on his Instagram and some of the other guys that we went to high school with that they were posting at the Metro Convention Center where they had the installations and stuff. We're even at Union Station running into Zdeno Chara. Nick Suzuki was in town. There were so many people in town this past week, and it was unbelievable to see. It was awesome to see, too. I think they hit a home run with, like, giving the fans as much access as they can to whether it's ex-pros, current pros, for free in a lot of cases. I think they did a really good job in that. But ultimately, the game product needs to get better. And I think, like I've said so many times, whether it's basketball or hockey, I think they need to go back to, you know, maybe trying to prove that North America is still the best for hockey, and then maybe have them play against Europe. But, you know, they proposed, what was it, the top four of hockey this past weekend?
Oh, yeah, that instead of a World Cup, just four teams.
The four teams, it would be like Finland, Sweden, USA, and Canada face off for whatever the fuck the trophy's going to be called. And I think it's kind of wild that they excluded the Czech Republic's not going to be included in that. Russia's not going to be included because of other issues, but it's kind of surprising. I mean, one great thing that came from this past weekend was the fact that Gary Bettman confirmed that we're going to get to see the NHL go back to the Olympics.
Thank God.
So we're going to get to see, you know, Austin Matthews play against Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Sidney Crosby. That was another thing. Talking about Sidney Crosby, how Sid's like, I don't know if they're going to want me. I'm going to have to really earn my spot on the team. He's like, fuck off. You're going to be the captain one last time for Team Canada. You're going to win us. You mean to tell me?
I don't know if he'll be captain, man. No, like, that's an honest... Dude, like, look, everybody was saying in 2014 that Tave should have been the captain because he had more success. This is a time... I know, like, I agree. I think Crosby should be the captain, but you're telling me some guys would be like, McDavid's not the captain?
Yeah, it's McJesus a show.
But you mean to tell me in that locker room, almost anyone who is going to be on Team Canada can be the captain of Team Canada? But you mean to tell me when they're all sitting in the locker room and Sidney Crosby is sitting next to McDavid on one side and MacKinnon on the other side, they're going to say, yeah, Sid, you're not wearing the C? or Sid's not going to be the captain. That's lunacy. Like, we even get to see maybe Connor Bedard play on that team too.
He will be on that
like, team. We're going to finally get this. We've been robbed of seeing McDavid play with Crosby for quite some time. It's even overdue. McKinnon, and it's overdue. Like, it's fucking overdue.
I mean, I think the one thing that we're going to start to realize with the NHLers back in the Olympics is how fucking amazing the States are. They're going to be fucking insane.
Well, even Finland and Sweden, like, yeah. the score's been posting, you know, potential lineups ever since that came out, whether it's for the four teams or four countries or even the Olympics. And, you know, you're going through the fucking list and you're like, that guy can play. That guy can play. That guy can play. The only team that's truly scary when you're looking at it on paper is the US and Canada, because it's just like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. And it's just like, what the fuck?
I think the States actually might be better than Canada on paper. Yeah, just because of goalies.
Well, yeah, they just because of goalies. They have the goalies that we don't have.
They have Ottinger, they have Demko, and Hellebuck. We have. Who do we have?
Yeah, the States
gonna have Binnington. Like, who the fuck is our goalie? Aiden Hill is going to be our goalie.
I mean, one guy that we probably would have put on the team. You know, he's got his hands tied in court right now. So we're not going to talk about that. But you know, yeah, that's another issue. But I mean, it's safe to say they hit a home run with All Star Weekend.
They did.
Hockey's our game. Toronto's the best city in the world for hockey. It's not even close. The sad thing is who knows how long we're going to have to wait for the All-Star game to come back.
So, Alino, who the fuck do you... So, do you think Crosby is captain 2026? I don't know about that.
No, I think McDavid.
Yeah.
I think it's McDavid.
I don't think it's Crosby, man. I think Crosby would, like... I think he'd be happy to be an A.
They'll probably give it to him for that mini, whatever, 4-team tournament, just to, like...
Passing
of the torch, but McDavid's going to the Olympics, and he's holding the... torch.
Crosby looks up like, can I hold it? I'd be like, no. It's my fucking time.
But don't. Okay, so we got that 4-team tournament. We got the Olympics. But didn't they also say the World Cup of Hockey is coming back too?
No,
I think that's just...
They put that on the burner.
They teased it and then... They didn't fucking follow through.
Because you have the World Cup of Hockey, like, you can't have gimmick teams like Team North America, Team Europe. Like, you would have to have like South American. If it's a World Cup, like...
That's never been a thing.
Like, I want the Japanese Hockey Federation represented. I want the Asian champion to come over.
You're gonna get shelled. You're better off having the Latvia World Junior team in the tournament than Germany at that point.
Hey, Germany's not that bad, man. Germany's not that bad.
No, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying in comparison to like
Just do an exhibition game between Belarus and Italy. See how many goals are in that game. Like,
you know how many Canadians are going to be on that Italy team?
That's the only thing I like about the Olympics when it was like Kopitar on Slovenia. Yeah. And you would just see how much better Kopitar was than everybody else. And he would actually like win them some games. So it's like, I have a more like appreciation for that more than like, let's throw them on Team Europe. I'm like, nah, I want to see them showcase themselves.
I will say the nice thing about like, that Team Europe, the Team North America was, you got this, like, okay, Team North America was...
so gimmicky.
Yeah, that was
the most gimmicky fucking team, but they were unbelievable. But
at the time, do you think any of us gave a fuck?
No.
We got to see guys that would never make an Olympics on Team Europe play together on the world stage, and they actually did really fucking well.
Went to the final, I think.
And Team North America, we got spoiled because, like, yeah, we'll give you all the best prospects that are under 23 or 25, whatever the fuck it was.
25.
And bust all the nuts you want watching them play. Team Canada, you're going to get your usual, minus a couple guys that would probably be like on the Spangler Cup team, and then everyone else was status quo. And it was just, it was good fucking hockey.
That team was so gimmicky that I was cheering for North America over Canada. Too. Like, I fucking loved North America.
Well, Matthews, McDavid, Riley,
Goudreau, Jones, McKinnon. Jesus Christ. Braden Boyd, Eichel.
Wasn't Seth Jones on that fucking team too?
Yeah, like, when he was hot shit.
Yeah, when he was hot shit.
Now he's dog shit.
But yeah, like...
I'm sorry.
No. A lot of great things, though, have come out from the All-Star game being here in Toronto. And I think it was time that Gary Bettman finally fucking got off his high horse and was like, Yeah, no, we need our guys to go back to the Olympics, because I think the last Olympics, whichever, when was it?
2000. Here?
No. I mean, like,
oh, maybe it was 2014.
There was Sochi.
Oh, you're talking about NHLers?
Yeah. What was it?
2014.
It was what, Sochi?
Yeah.
Yeah, because 2018, yeah. I think, was maybe Asia.
2018 was the World.
Let me
World Russia. Cup or something. No, that you're right. That was Russia.
Yeah,
that
was 2014. That was Sochi.
2018 was when it was guys like, like Arcabello, guys like that were there. No, yeah, dude, it's been 10 fucking years.
So the last,
God damn, poor Crosby, guy got shafted.
Yeah.
2014. Yeah. And you know how old John Tavares was in 2014?
Damn, he was really young,
like 24.
Yeah,
younger. 22.
And the crazy thing is too, it's like, so with the NHL confirming players to return to the Winter Olympics, they're confirming for the next two. So 26 and 30, they're good. But I guess it's going to be on like a year to year basis where the NHL will decide if they feel it's necessary. But like, yeah, like since, and your NHLers don't go to those competitions, not for nothing. No one fucking watches. I didn't watch. That's why I'm trying to think, when the fuck was the last time I saw NHLers play in the Olympics? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, Vancouver, Sid scored the golden goal. And then Sochi in 2014.
Yeah.
And then 20.
That was it.
Yeah. 2018, there was nothing. So it's going to be exciting. Hopefully Canada can actually win another gold medal. But
one last thing I'll say before we move on is, please just go back to 5-on-5, East versus West. Can you just please try that one year?
Not even East versus West. I still think just do the North America versus Europe thing. The NBA should do it too, just because it's going to make it more enticing. It honestly will. East versus West is good, but it's so old and boring that you're going to get an NBA kind of product where your stars will be their stars, and then everyone else is just kind of, you'll have more Kucherovs and more Pasternaks where they're not going to necessarily give a fuck. They're just happy to be there.
I've always liked East versus West in the NHL All-Star game.
Yeah, more traditional.
Yeah, fucking 100%. final score 13-8. Like, it's just, it's fun. You don't need to do two games. Just do one game.
Or if you want to do the whole, how they made a show of it this year was great because, you know, all the celebrities that they had were actual hockey fans and they actually cared, which was nice.
Thank God. Yeah, thank God.
Because it would have been so cringy and so bad. Even the way they did the draft was a little cringy this year.
Yeah. Oh, bad.
It was bad.
It was cringy. That was
like,
bad.
The only good thing was like you got to see Tate McRae look like an absolute smoke show, but that's another thing. But if you're going to do a draft, do an East versus West, kind of like how they had before, but you're going to have to fans vote or whatever it is, and then it's just a matter of the guys just draft East or West players in that order.
Or you need two guys that don't like each other that had a rivalry, and they're the
two captains.
Like, or if you want to get the kind of gimmick, do Gretzky Lemieux. Gretzky picks his team, Lemieux picks his team.
That would be good.
That's and then you fun. Have like a rivalry like that. Like, who picks a better team?
Then you have Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas.
Oh yeah, we got to do that. Now we got to do that.
No.
Just for the beef, you do Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan.
Oh,
just because.
Yeah.
That would be oof. That would be too good. That would be
and
you too
know, and
good.
Jordan would be he'd be salty and he would not take LeBron.
No, he
definitely would not take LeBron. He'd be like, give me KD first overall. What?
All right. LeBron's gonna be sitting in his chair, like,
be like,
the fuck just happened.
You're a fucking idiot.
I call that team the Sidekicks because they need more help than I do. Boom,
there it is. And then Mike would probably be like, LeBron, I could beat you right now. Come on,
I'm gonna lace them up. Got my shoes.
I'm not gonna lie. You know how many people would pay to see a 40-year-old LeBron James go one on one with Michael Jordan at an All Star game? You know how many people would pay to fucking see that?
LeBron would dunk on him.
Yeah,
like Jordan's, and he would love it. He'd smile and he'd love it. But he'd play the villain role perfectly.
Yeah. No, he would.
He would. He literally would.
But I think Mike would want to play the villain role more than fucking.
Nah, he's too loved. He's way too loved, MJ.
But he's loved as a villain, not just as a, like, he's probably one of the most loved shit talkers and of all time.
Yeah, him and KG. Kevin Garnett, that guy used to fucking make fun of your family and then put 40 on you.
and smile.
Yeah, that's. I think for basketball it would work more because they're more charismatic. I think hockey,
the robotic,
like, yeah, charismatic. They probably need if there was like a syringe with charisma in it right there, like. Well, give it to them, bottle it up.
I mean, there's hope with guys like, you know, Hughes. Matthews has a little bit of, he's more smug than charisma, but he has it.
He does have it, yeah.
So, you know.
Willie has it.
Has it. There is some hope in terms of that, but yeah, like I think it would be great if you did it with coaches. If you had like a Torts team versus a Bob Hartley team.
Torts team?
No, just
Tom Wilson first. Who's next? I got Ovi coming.
But
Ryan Reeves.
I don't want to pick any of these fucking guys if I don't like them.
It's like, who do you want? You want Vinny Trocheck or you want Jack Hughes? Give me Troche.
I just think it'd
be, I don't want that buttercup over there, Jack Hughes. You can pot 100, you can't hit.
I just think that sort of beef would be fucking great. Like it would make it so entertaining. Like to see Kucherov get booed the way he got booed, and even Pasternak had those comments in his presser, and then on the ice he didn't, like, it was relentless. It's awesome to see because we haven't seen guys get booed on the ice in Toronto, like, as Leaf fans since it was probably,
I'll give you a name,
Daniel Alfredson. Daniel Alfredson, Saku Koivu,
oh,
Jason Spezza when he was a Senator for a long time, even Danny Heatley.
We all low-key love Danny.
Oh, no.
Like, he would snipe it against the Leafs. It's like, oh, fuck, but I like that guy.
But, like, if it's not the Bruins of, like, the years where we were bad and we got eliminated by them, it was those old guys way back when that were getting booed every time they touched the puck. Now no one fucking boos anybody.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, Alfie, Chara.
That's a Saku Koivu got it pretty bad.
They could have
too.
Done that this year. They could have had Sundin draft a team and Alfredson draft a team.
That's it.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Or if you really want to take advantage of like the modern situation, you do Matt Sundin, Patrice Bergeron. Because Bergeron just retired. Everybody who's under fucking 17 knows who Bergeron is. Some of them maybe don't know Sundin. There you go. Hey, it's reality, man.
No, I know.